No surprise that Brazil is being factored into the way we see the markets trade today, but so is a cycling action going on in the corn. That's where we're going to start. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jim McCormick joins us today with agmarket.net. So let's talk about this cycling that seems to be happening once again in this corn contract.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did have a nice little rebound in the market the week of Christmas, nice little Santa Claus rally. But technically, Susan, when we went to trade of the day after the holiday, we went to kind of the downtrend line, probed above it, could not close above it. So we hit some technical resistance and, you know, wasn't the best of closes. And now we're kind of cycling back down to the lower end of the range. If you look at step back and think about where we've been for the last 6 months, we've had a very hard time getting that front month corn over 450. Even with when we had a projected 1.5 carryout this summer, now we're looking at 2 billion carryout. So it seems like whenever we get it near that 450 level, the end user kind of backs off his buying and the producer steps up his buying. And that seems to cap us on this last little run up. And we're looking for something to kind of change that narrative. And right now we are still seeing a little bit of thin holiday trade. So maybe that's exaggerating the downward move today, but definitely not a little bit disappointing to see coming out of the, you know, the Christmas bounce.
So then how much of a concern do you see with China and them moving some of the reserves to have an effect maybe short term on this corn market and its demand?
Well, that's it. I mean, what you're seeing a little bit of disappointment. I mean, there was talk that China was snooping around to buy some corn recently. No confirmation of it. We've heard people talking about it, and that'd been nice to see them do it. But now you're getting a rumor saying that China's government is looking to release up to 7.25 million metric tons of wheat, or roughly 266 million bushels of wheat. This is wheat from a 2017 crop that's been in its reserves for a very long time. And they're saying so much of that is, yeah, so poor quality, up to 60% plus, may be pushed into the feed sector, which means the odds of China coming in and buying a lot of corn, now they're dumping all this wheat, that they're trying to get to some poor quality wheat, that's going to limit the bouncing or demand for corn potentially, although maybe we can get some wheat sales potentially to China as they try to refill some of that reserve sales.
You know, when you think about what that quality is, if you're looking at stuff all the way back to 2017, it's got to be definitely on the deep poor side.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and that's pretty much why it looks like if they do, as if this wheat is being released as it's been rumored, it's just going to go into the feed market, plain and simple, because that's pretty much all it's probably used for, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it.
Well, we did see some sales this morning that came out, this time to Egypt for this marketing year. Haven't seen their name pop up in a while.
No, we have not. It is good to see. I mean, right now, if you look as a whole, corn export demand inspections have been phenomenal. Bean inspections sales have been very disappointing. The wheat situation, we're good briefly, and now we're kind of fighting for some market share in the wheat right now. Some of that is going to hinge on what happens in the Ukraine. Over the weekend, President Trump, Susan, came out and said they had a very close and are making progress on this peace negotiations between Ukrainians and the Russians. Today, I'd argue it's a little bit less optimistic. Supposedly President Putin saying that the Ukrainians attacked his house, in essence, with drones last night. The Ukrainians are denying that story. But this peace process is very tentative. But if they would get peace, the overall viewpoint of the market is that would be a little bit bearish for the feed grains and bean oil, as it would allow wheat, corn, and canola to move onto the world market a little bit cheaper, as more than likely the freight rates, the insurance rates of these boats going into that war region would drop if you would get a ceasefire or a peace accord.
Well, Jim, we saw that, and you were talking before we went on the air today, that cheaper numbers when it comes to Brazil and some of these crops put some interesting pressure factors here on the U.S.
Well, exactly. I mean, the bean market, like Sid mentioned, it's under pressure. It had a little bit of a bounce last week. It's now near last week's lows. We are still not competitively priced with Brazil, and that's usually what happens. Remember, the early bean season are just starting to come out of the fields, and that's only going to ramp up as we move into January, into February. So the market's goal right now is to get competitively priced with the Brazilians. China looks like they're going to buy near 12 million metric tons of beans. The problem is that's half of what we thought they were going to buy at the beginning of the year. That's not enough to essentially drain the ending stocks. In essence, the ending stocks will grow if that's all the Chinese buy. So we've got to find other buyers. And to get those other buyers, we've got to drop our price, unfortunately, to get competitively priced with the Brazilians at the moment.
Is there concerns, though, when you look at the weather for southern Argentina, for as dry as they have been?
There is a little bit of concern of the weather right now. The latest forecast, of course, it's a weather forecast. It changes constantly, but the latest forecast says they're going to be dry for roughly a week. But the longer range maps into next week, the 8 to 10 day, 8 to 14 day maps are bringing that rain right back into Argentina. So if the Argentinians get the rain, that's going to be a little negative. The big behemoth, at least in the bean market, is the Brazilians. And right now, all aspects are, it looks like Brazil is on pace to have just a monster bean crop. And then we'll see how the corn crop plays out, because the Safrina corn crop's the big one that determines the overall price movement of corn out of South America.
When you look at that, and that, like you said, it's the weather. It's going to change on an ever-changing basis. But when you look at, what are you hearing when it comes to summer crop development? Since there's such a pressure, and they're saying, you know, a bumper crop on the soybean side.
Right now, all aspects of it, the NIV, you know, the when you look at the greenness of the crop, it looks like it's going to be a huge crop. The crop ratings you're hearing out of the people who make those crop ratings out of Argentina and Brazil both are saying this crop looks very, very good. So unfortunately, that is not what we want to hear here in the United States. We would like to see somebody have some production issues. That's part of the reason why prices are so depressed recently, is we've just, you know, the world is producing back-to-back-to-back record crops. We had a big crop. Brazil had a big crop on the wheat. Argentina had a big crop. Canada had a big crop. Australia had a record crop. You know, so right now the world is virtually a little bit oversupplied, and that's why the market prices are so depressed at the moment. What we really would like to see, not that you're wishing bad luck on anybody, but we really do need to see some production issues, I think is the best, the quickest thing that will solve this oversupply problem we're currently seeing.
And especially when it comes to winter wheat, because we heard there's dryness and warm weather concerns in the United States, the drastically cold weather that's being seen in parts of Russia. So that might give a little bit of an influence for this outcome on this crop.
It could. I mean, as this week comes out of dormancy and we are having some issues, hopefully that will give us somewhat of a rally. Like I said, we are looking for something to get this market excited. Because, Susan, one thing we got to remember, everyone's very frustrated about the markets. I know I am. But one thing you look at, the amount of money that is sloshing around the world right now, the amount of money sloshing around the U.S., the M2 supply is at record levels. We are lowering interest rates. We are trying to flood the market with money. If you give them a reason to buy, I think you'll get an explosive move higher. We saw it in the cattle market earlier in the year. We saw it in the metal market recently. Now, today we're seeing a very nasty correction, but we had an explosive move higher over the last couple months. Could we see that in the grain complex? I believe you can. If you can get a storyline, a production issue somewhere, you give the funds in inches, and they're going to give a mile. We will get that excitement move up, but we just need something to excite the market. Just unfortunately, in this thin holiday trade, there's nothing there to get them excited, at least at the moment.
So as we wrap up our conversation, let's look at the cattle side of it. Cash, are we going to expect at least just holding steady for this shortened holiday week?
I would look for steady at least. Remember, they're going to be buying cattle for next week's full kill week. The market is trading relatively sideways. We got some colder weather coming in, so that's a little bit supportive. Right now, it feels like to me, we're almost near the kind of an equilibrium. We've been trading here at value, and we're going to wait and see how the consumer reacts coming out of the Christmas spending. We'll see how the economy goes. But right now, it seems like we're equilibrium, and hopefully that's a good sign for cash.
All right. Jim McCormick joining us today at agmarket.net. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Monday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.